This is All In. I'm Taylor Bennett. Today we're talking about Girls Rock Indianapolis, a summer camp where campers can learn drums, guitars, and songwriting. If you have questions or comments on our show today, you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call us at 866-476-3881. Just give your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment, and we'll do our best to get it into the conversation. Again, that number is 866-476-3881. You can also send us high-quality voice messages with our smartphone app. It's called All In Vox Pop. It's free, easy to use. You just search for All In Vox Pop on your phone's app store. Today, we are joined by four guests. Michelle Marty is the board president and the camp director for Girls Rock Indy. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Taylor. Pleased to be here today.
I'm so happy you're here. We also have Marissa Smith-Kenney, the board vice president and the marketing chair for Girls Rock Indy. Hi, Marissa.
Hi, Taylor. Thanks.
Jackson West is programming chair for Girls Rock Indy. Hi, Jackson.
Hello, Taylor. Happy to be here today.
All right. And also we have Pasha Anderson, a current Girls Rock Indy camper. Welcome, Pasha.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm so excited about today's show. I love this idea. I love this organization. Michelle, I want to get to you first and just give us a quick history a little bit of Girls Rock Indianapolis. And how did it start?
It's part of a bigger organization called the Girls Rock Camp Alliance, which started around 2000. And it was brought to Indianapolis by an all-women band at the time in 2010. They were called Jackson. What were they called? I'm blanking on their name now.
Is that Neon Love Life?
Neon Love Life. That's right. One of the Neon Love Life members went to Seattle, participated in the camp there, and brought the idea back to Indianapolis, and they started it from the ground up here.
And I have to admit that this is something that I've always wanted to do. Like, I have had the secret dream of being like in a rock band. I so wish I had something like this when I was younger. Do you find that there was a pressing need for a program like this?
Absolutely. And we actually hear that a lot from the adults that volunteer in our program. They wish there was something like this around when they were kids. And on a lot of levels, there is a need for it on the musical level and on a level of encouraging girls to step up and step out and get their voices heard. And we are hoping one day in the future to start a grown-up version of this camp. So it's not too late for you, Taylor.
Oh, let me know. I always wanted to play drums. And when I tried out in band, they said, no drums for you. Maybe the horn. And I was like, no, I want drums. But
yeah,
I even got turned down for fourth grade choir.
Oh, no.
I know.
Well, we need to rectify that.
This is a pretty unique program. Are there other ones like it?
There's a lot like it around the world. There's at least 100 Girls Rock camps or versions of our camp around the world. And as I said, we're part of an organization called the Girls Rock Camp Alliance that provides information and connects us all across the globe so that we can bounce off one another and use one another's resources and support one another. It really helped last year when we had to switch everything up due to COVID, and we had other people to reach out to that were in the same situation.
When you look at it from where it started and where it is now, how's it grown? I mean, it's really grown a lot.
It has grown a lot. I think we started maybe with, I wasn't there in 2010, but I think we had maybe 30 campers the first year. And now we have, the last in-person camp we had was 2019, and we had two back-to-back weeks of 50 campers each week. So we are serving up to 100 kids at the moment.
Yeah. Who is it exactly open to?
It's open to girls, and that includes trans and non-binary youth, any marginalized gender youth that are aged between 9 and 16 years old.
Okay. And Marissa, Michelle touched on it just a little bit about how things were changed up, last year, again, for so many people and different things. When is the event for this year? And then how's I assume it's going to be a little bit different than usual.
Yeah, so we're still planning to hold camp this year by any means necessary. You know, as we talked about, it's an important program and we, you know, the show must go on. We are currently accepting camp applications right now, and camp will take place the second and third week of July. So right now we're offering up kind of a hybrid model. So parents can elect to say that they're most comfortable with an all virtual camp session or an in-person camp session. So we really want to make sure that it's inclusive to folks depending on their comfortability right now. We want to make sure that, you know, we still are able to get our programs out there because we believe it's super important. Even with the virtual camp last year, we had a wonderful impact on the kids. You know, 71% said that their ability to express themselves improved because of camp. And that was all entirely virtual camp last year. So I'd definitely say it's important to keep it going.
How will the virtual aspect of it operate for those who don't want to be in person? What would that look like as far as virtually?
Yeah, so we're still figuring out how everyone will be placed depending on virtual or in person. But last year we had great success focusing on digital music production for those who were comfortable with a virtual camp. So the camp was typically spent in the mornings doing workshops on self-expression and self-care. And then in the afternoon, the kids would get together with their bandmates and learn about how to use Soundtrap, which is a music production system.
Okay. And then for those that are going to be in person, how is that going to look as far as what kind of safety protocols did you put in place or planning to put in place?
Marty, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, we have been discussing this within our camp committee, which is all volunteers, by the way. Everyone who is involved with Girls Rock on an organizational level is a volunteer. We are going to take the CDC recommendations into account, and it's still a few months off, so we might make changes depending on how things look by then. We're part of our application process, which is available at girlsrockindy.org, is actually a questionnaire asking whether parents are more comfortable with a hybrid model, whether they're more comfortable with a 5-day a week in-person model or the online virtual version. So it's a little difficult to say exactly what it's going to look like this year. In the past, you know, in-person means 5 days a week and kind of a sweaty atmosphere, but we will take all of the guidelines into consideration, lots of temperature checks and sanitizing and, you know, the whole works if that's where we're at in July.
Right, right. Well, hopefully, you know, we've come a little far to where a lot of those safety protocols will make families comfortable to come back. Like you said, it's kind of confined, but again, you know, with those in place, hopefully that families will be comfortable with letting the participants come in.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you say 5 days, is that they stay there or do they go for the day and then they come back? What's the hours like? What's the day like?
It's a 5-day week, no overnights. Drop off is usually between 7:45 and 8 a.m. and pickup is usually between 4:30 and 5 p.m. Traditionally, we've held it at IUPUI downtown. And then we do have one extra day. The Saturday is a showcase. Well, last year we did that as a radio showcase, but in previous years, we do that as a live showcase in front of, you know, 200, 300, 400 people, and they play their songs.
All right. Well, Pasha, you're a longtime Girls Rocker.
Yes, I am.
How many years have you participated?
I actually started participating back in, I think, what was 2013 or 2014. And then I came back after a few years in 2019, and that's when it really got down to me being really interested in what we were doing here.
Mm-hmm. What makes you keep coming back?
I love the people. It's such a beautiful atmosphere. Everybody's so accepting. It's a lot of fun because, like, you can come back every day and all of these people are there waiting for you. And you have so much fun with all the other campers there. You can, like, blast music. And when you're not blasting music, practicing is really fun because sometimes you're all fans of the same music. Mm-hmm. And then you can just play covers if you want to. So
how great is that? You can turn up the music, play it as loud as you want. Everybody likes the same music.
And no one can hear us because we're underground. So it's great.
There you go. What kind of music do you like to play?
I myself am a rock musician. I love punk rock, pop punk. I'll play anything as long as it's got a guitar in it.
Oh, yeah. I have a guitar, but I have no idea how to play it. Maybe you can give me some tips. It's sitting in my closet. You know, again, it goes back to that, me wanting to be a rock star that never happened. But yeah. What is your favorite instrument? You said guitar. I mean, was that easy for you to pick up?
It was pretty easy for me to pick up. I started playing guitar. I technically got a guitar when I was in like the same year that I went to Girls Rock. I got one for like Christmas, and my dad bought one that same year. And so, but after Girls Rock, I put the guitar down and I didn't pick it up until like December of 2018. Mm-hmm. So, I think guitar is most definitely my favorite.
Yeah, electric guitar or?
Yeah, electric. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it.
It's hard to learn. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, it looks like it'd be very complicated.
It does look complicated. I think that scares a lot of people away from it. That and all of the attention that comes with being a guitarist. Like whenever you think of your favorite band, you either think of the singer or the guitarist. It's one of the two. Mm-hmm. So I think that scares a lot of people away sometimes. But I think guitar is a very easy instrument to pick up. You just have to be dedicated to it.
I have a friend that's learning how to play, and he says it's complicated because he can play, but he can't sing. He can't like do both at the same time. Is that the case? Is that challenging to do both?
It is challenging for a lot of people. I know the singer of my band has a few challenges with that. She's not going to like me for pointing that out today. But we definitely have a few challenges with singing certain songs and playing at the same time just because they're so complicated.
Yeah. Well, I want to definitely talk with you more about the music and just the whole experience. And the rest of our guests today will be back after a quick break. We're talking about Girls Rock Indianapolis and how it hopes to empower young musicians in Indiana. Again, if you have questions or comments for the show, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. I'm Taylor Bennett. We'll be right back. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Taylor Bennett. We're talking today about Girls Rock Indianapolis and how the annual summer camp shapes young Hoosiers on stage and also off. We'd love to hear your questions and comments on this topic. You can find us on Facebook and also Twitter at All In Indiana. Or leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from. That number, 866-476-3881. Don't forget, you can also send us a voice message through our free smartphone app. It's called All In Vox Pop. You just search for All In Vox Pop on your phone's app store. Send us your question or comment, and we will try to get it onto the show. Jackson, I wanted to ask you, over the years, it seems like Girls Rock Indy has really turned into much more than just a day camp.
I mean, we are working as an organization to be a radical, anti-racist organization. We are working to amplify the voices of marginalized women and queer people. And that is, not even just with our campers, but within our presenting volunteers as well.
What are some of the offstage skills do you think that the campers learn and take away with them when they leave the camp?
In all of my years of working with camp, getting to see our campers grow up into really confident and self-aware individuals is so impressive. I've been in camp long enough to see, some of our campers come into adulthood and continue in music, continue within the art scenes, and really be movers and shakers, even here in our Indianapolis community.
Right. I mean, there's so many different aspects to it. It's more than just learning an instrument, it's taking those skills away with you and, applying them toward everyday life and some of the things that you learned.
Yeah, a lot of ability to take initiative, to work creatively, to work collaboratively, and to self-organize. Because, you know, it's a really hard week. We have so many campers that come in never having touched an instrument before. And, you know, campers as young as 9 years old, when I first started, as young as eight. Mm-hmm. And they come in and have to work with, you know, sometimes three or four other kids that they have never met before, and write an original song in a week and then perform it to a crowd of like 200 to 300, 400 people. And it's really pretty gobstopping what these kids are able to do. It's so impressive.
Absolutely. Michelle, with so many campers there, you know, obviously everybody has their own taste in music. There's a lot of diversity, so-called music taste. Are they usually open to some learning some new sounds and different styles of music and not just what you're used to listening to?
Absolutely. And I was going to mention that when Pasha was talking about her interests in punk and pop, the kids are not only into that kind of music. You know, we have kids that are into all types of different music. And one of the jobs that we have for our older campers is to be DJs. So in the morning when we have our group meetings, and in the afternoons when we have group meetings, and at lunchtime, the older campers get to DJ and select the songs that they like, to listen to what the other campers like, and play music. So it really expands horizons. We play games where we talk about genre, and we ask kids to inform others about what they listen to. And there's no judgment. So we cannot, you know, sit there and go, ew, you like that. We don't like it. No, that's not acceptable. We state that right from the beginning. You listen and accept what people's tastes are and what their expressions are. So it's wonderful for everyone to be exposed to this range of influences.
Well, definitely. I mean, there are all kinds of styles of music, and again, being around people who maybe may introduce you to, it always kind of cracks me up when someone says that, you know, there's no really good new music out there, where there's tons of music out there. You just maybe, you know, look at the different styles of music out there, new sounds. There's always something new.
You have to be open to new sounds. And Jackson, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I had a band, I think it was 2 years ago, and every single member of my band was interested in a different type of music, you know, punk, country, pop music, and they were having a very hard time working on their song and finding a direction to go where they could all work together. And it was really fun introducing them to mashups, and you take two songs of very different genres. Like one of my favorites is the Bee Gees and Nelly mashup. Those are two wildly different genres, and you're able to put them together and create something brand new with a interesting sound, and utilizing that as a tool to show them that you can come in with different tastes in music and have that come out great was a wonderful resource and came out beautifully.
So one of Jackson's roles at camp is as a band manager, and they have been really wonderful in that role, and they're able to work with a group of kids and help them to all collaborate, especially when maybe we have kids with different backgrounds who are not necessarily drawn to one another initially. So when Jackson talks about their band, they're talking about the group of youth that they're working with.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Can I jump in here?
Absolutely.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot about like combining the different kinds of music tastes, because in my band, Lost in the Dark _band, you can follow us on Instagram.
you might have to get that out. You can give your Instagram.
Yeah. We're all into different, we have different styles of writing. So it comes into our music together, where you hear all these different influences we have from different sides of like the music spectrum. And I think it's very interesting to combine these different music tastes and see what you get out of it. And that's what Girls Rock does really well, where we put so many different people together and we see what magic they can create.
What's the name of your band?
Lost in the Dark.
Okay.
How'd you come up with that? We're not really sure. Somebody pointed out at one point that it's actually like a combination of two names of two songs that we like to play, mm-hmm. but we never realized it ourselves. So not really sure where it came from.
Actually, band name selection is something that the campers all do, and they have to agree within their band on a band name, usually mm-hmm. by the second day of camp, second day of the week. And if anyone out there has tried to come up with a band name, it's really hard to do, even when you have months working together with the musicians. Yeah. So these kids have to do it on the fly in like 2 days of knowing each other. And it's a skill.
It is. Yeah. I think that's probably the most challenging, is just to first come up with the name that kind of represents who you are. And then, you know, you're ready for that band cover, right? That album cover.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They design a logo as well. That's part of our weekly activities. So coming up with a band name, writing a song, writing song lyrics, and coming up with a band logo. There's a lot to fit into a week.
Yeah, that's a lot. Pasha, have you gotten any of your friends to participate in Girls Rock with you?
Yeah. So the two people that that I'm in a band with now, we actually all met at, well, I met one of them at Girls Rock, but I got my friend into Girls Rock because I remember she always used to be, well, she always wanted to be in a band. So I was like, dude, you got to try this, man. It's pretty awesome. So she came over and now we're in a band together. Because we figured out how to work together in Girls Rock. So it really helps.
Yeah. What was it like performing on stage for the first time?
Ooh, it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. Yeah, we were terrified, but also like everybody at camp had been hyping us up and telling us we sounded so awesome. So we were like, all right, maybe we can do this. And the audience loved us. So it was pretty rewarding.
Of course they loved you. Of course they did. Where was it at?
I'm blanking on the name. It was, Michelle, do you know?
The 2019 showcase was at Wabash 416, which is a club downtown. Mm-hmm. And they also have a recording studio in their building. But prior to that, we've used different places. We did a couple of years at the Athenaeum and a couple of years in the Student Union building at IUPUI. We did 1 year. We've been around.
Yeah.
But we really enjoyed Wabash 416 when we used that in 2019, because that had a real club feel to it, flashing lights and a big stage.
Yeah, that has to be like the ultimate grand finale, right? You work so hard during the week, and then to actually perform, to be on stage and perform, that has to be just amazing.
It's awesome for us to watch. The volunteers are all by the stage and in the audience yelling and screaming. And Pasha, what's it like to be on stage?
Oh, that was so much fun. You could see everybody in the back and the people in like the rafters cheering you on, because all the campers loved the songs we were playing too. We played The Ballad of Mona Lisa by Panic at the Disco. And most of the campers knew that song. They were singing along in the back. It was really fun.
Oh, fun.
So Pasha was part of the Amplifier program in 2019, and our amplifiers are our counselors in training. So they have a few more responsibilities, but they also get more perks. And one of those is to be able to cover a song that's already written. They still have to write a song as part of the program, because we believe self-expression is really key to this program. But in addition to the song they write, they can put together a cover of someone else's song. And that's always a blast for all the other campers, because they know the song, they know the words, and they can sing along.
Especially when you have the audience singing along with you, right?
That's
gonna be pretty cool, yeah. Jackson, what kinds of social issues come up, or maybe just, you know, I think you may have touched on it a little bit at the beginning, especially in recent years?
You know, we live in a patriarchal society, so it's really important for us to open up voices for marginalized youth. You know, even when the pandemic arose, like we, as a board, had big conversations about going forward with camp, and we just found it so important to maintain this space for voices of, you know, young girls, trans kids, non-binary youth, as well as them just being kids. Having this outlet to be heard is incredibly important. On top of that, as an organization with many volunteer organizations, you find them to be pretty whitewashed. So in putting together the programming, I found it really important to have good representation from Black and brown people of color, as well as queer presenters, to get as many perspectives and voices heard and be able to bounce off from as possible within camp.
Do you think that the campers are pretty well represented of the population?
We're constantly working on that. We definitely have, a large percentage of our campers being from, white middle-class families. And we're constantly working as an organization to find ways to reach more marginalized communities.
And we do offer scholarships, so finance shouldn't be a barrier to anyone or any family who would like their child to participate in camp. Our fees range between, we have a sliding scale of fees ranging from $50 for the week to $325 for the week, or even more if people would like to donate to support those who can't afford it. But we hope that most people are able to raise at least $50 for the week of camp. And as I said, with our organization, we're entirely staffed by volunteers, and that goes for our camp weeks as well. We do pay a small stipend to our volunteers just to cover their time and effort being there. But they're there because they love it. They don't get a huge ton of money. Our volunteers come back every year because they love the environment. They find themselves supported at the same time that they're supporting the youth. We're able to support one another in that environment. And it's just a wonderful, refreshing atmosphere for everybody.
How do you find your volunteers and campers? How do you get the word out if someone's not familiar?
Through doing interviews like this, Taylor. Thank you for having us here. Right now, we don't have our volunteer application open. We have our camper application open at girlsrockindy.org, and we hope to get our volunteer application up in the next month or so. So if you are interested in being a volunteer and you're listening to this right now, just keep an eye on our website. We have a – Marissa, can you talk a little about our subscription to our newsletter?
Sure. Yeah. So we actually just redid our website to make it a bit more user-friendly for folks. And one of those features is a newsletter sign up at the bottom of the homepage. So if you go to girlsrockindy.org, you can sign up for our newsletter. We will be sending an email here within the next month once those volunteer applications go live. So you'll get a direct link to that in your inbox if you're interested. Otherwise, I would say, yeah, the best way to keep up with us is to follow us on social media at Girls Rock Indy, or to just keep an eye on our website, girlsrockindy.org.
Do you have a limit? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say a lot of it so far has been word of mouth.
Okay.
People sometimes find us on our website or our social media, but a lot of times our volunteers will take that experience, pass it on to their friends, and bring them back next year to participate. So when we are looking for volunteers, we're looking for volunteers with musical experience to help instruct and to help the youth write their songs. But we're also looking for people who are representative of the camp population, so women, trans, non-binary, who don't necessarily have musical skills and can help the youth collaborate with one another and just get through some of the roadblocks they have on the way to the end of the week performance.
Is it a challenge to recruit volunteers? I wouldn't necessarily say recruit, but to get volunteers to help?
Usually we have a bunch of people that are raring to go. And what it comes down to is the final few weeks before camp, we are looking for like one specific thing. Like, you know, we don't have a drum instructor, or we don't have a bass instructor, or something along those lines. So overall, we haven't had a problem with recruiting volunteers. On occasion, we have trouble finding, for example, a female drummer to do drum instruction who is available. There are plenty of female drummers in this city, but, you know, a lot of them have jobs and just can't find the time to work with us, because we're only there for that 2 weeks during July.
Right. Is there a limit on the number of campers that you will accept?
This year is still up in the air. We're okay. working on it. Hopefully we can accept more this year because we will have the virtual option, mm-hmm. which opens it up to Hoosiers from all over the state. If they can't make it in person to Indianapolis, as long as they are able to have access to a computer and internet, hopefully we can get out to people that we haven't been able to access before.
Yeah, that's a great option to have that virtually for those, like you said, across the state. So, all right, well, we'll be right back and continue our conversation after just a quick break. We're talking with leadership and young musicians that fuel the growing Girls Rock Indianapolis Summer Camp. If you have questions or comments for our guest today, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. Don't forget, you can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. I'm Taylor Bennett. We'll be right back. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Taylor Bennett. Back now to our discussion on Girls Rock Indianapolis and what kind of effect it's had on young participants over the years. As always, we'd love to hear your questions and comments. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. And you can also leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from. That number is 866-476-3881. Michelle, according to your website, you have quite the extensive career in music education and performance. Can you elaborate a little more on that for us? And really, how's it help you lead this camp?
Well, I'm a self-taught musician. I started playing guitar when I was 10 years old, I think. And I wanted to buy, I got a job in our equivalent of 7-Eleven when I was 15 to save money for a guitar, and got myself an electric guitar, but my mother would not let me buy an amplifier because they were too loud. Mm-hmm. So those were my beginnings. And I moved to London when I was in my 20s and joined a band there, and then had a wonderful opportunity to tour in a couple of bands all over Europe and the UK. And then moved to New York area and started classes in early childhood education and became a music teacher. So that's what I do now. I lead music and movement classes for very young children. My business is called Shubilu Music. And I got involved. Actually, my daughter got involved in Girls Rock before I did. I found out about it, signed her up as a 9-year-old, and she had a blast, and I saw how much fun the volunteers were having. So the following year I volunteered, thinking, oh, they probably don't need me. I'm just a little part-time bass player, and started as a bass instructor, wound up as a camp director, and now president of the board. So I did bring a lot of experience to the role, but it has also given me a lot. Being part of this organization has helped me to find my voice and to be able to express myself in ways that I couldn't before.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you have quite the background, and I'm sure that the campers obviously look up to you since you have so much experience. You were in a band, you've been abroad, but like you said, I mean, it also provides you with other things as well to
Honestly, the campers just think I'm an old lady and try and avoid me.
Yeah.
She helped us through so much stuff. Like when I was in retrograde, she helped us book shows. She got us all of the instrument equipment we needed. She's awesome.
Thank you, Pasha. I do my best. I just love to see young musicians be able to express themselves without any limits.
Yeah, Marissa, do you find that the campers ever continue with music after they so-called age out from Girls Rock?
I would definitely say that the majority of our campers do continue with music in some fashion. You know, the camp really helps them learn how to express themselves. So even if they don't stick with you know, playing an instrument, they find other ways to express themselves. And I think that Jackson has more to say about that.
Yeah, one thing that we are doing with the programming too, especially with our amplifiers, is giving them the knowledge that they need to continue to work in music after they exit out of camp. In doing that, we're looking at getting workshop leaders that have experience in like doing tour managing. We've done workshops with them, teaching them how to make merch. If and when we're able to get back into in-person camp, one thing I would like to bring to camp is silk screening, so that they can, all of our campers can silk screen their own band logos onto shirts, and just having a good grasp of, you know, how the music industry and how touring goes as a whole will allow them to move forward within the music industry or as musicians.
Yeah,
and whether or not they stay in music, the other skills they learn are going to be useful to them throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. Self-expression, collaboration, being accepting, being broad-minded and accepting people from different backgrounds, not being shy to speak up. So often, especially in school settings, girls are told, you know, be quiet, you know, settle down. We don't need to hear your voice right now. But we need to hear every woman's voice and every person of color's voice and every non-binary person's voice. And everyone who is not a cisgender white male needs to stand up and express themselves. So we're helping those kids make that leap into saying, don't hold back. We want to hear you.
Absolutely. Finding your voice and using it. I know I hardly ever talked when I was in school. It was very painful to talk. So finding your voice and being able to have that expression, I think, sounds like a very important part of the program.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, people from all walks of life have trouble with that. But I think girls more so have that issue.
Jackson, I wanted to kind of go back to you and ask you how music helped you when you were a young adult.
You know, I grew up really rurally and was just a little weirdo in really small communities. And being able to find music that I could identify with, you know, gave me a sense of belonging, you know, just even knowing that somebody out there is feeling the same way that I was, you know, being able to build community through music, even through the internet. Cause you know, I spent 4 years living in very rural Alaska and grew up on the rural Southern Oregon coast. And there just wasn't a lot of community within my locale for me to identify with. So music has always provided that for me.
I grew up very rurally too, so I lived on a farm. So there was, I was one of those weirdos as well. Michelle, in recent years, Girls Rock was hosted by IUPUI. Can you talk a little bit about how that relationship has benefited the camp?
Yeah, we've had a wonderful relationship with IUPUI. They offer programs in music and arts technology and also in music therapy. And we were able to develop a relationship with them where they're gracious hosts to the camp. I think we've done it 4 or 5 times at IUPUI. And we utilize some of their students in our as volunteers in our program. And their music and arts technology is very male dominated. It has been very male dominated, and they are looking to get more women into the technology of music, which is why I'm so excited that last year we've been able to expand into electronic music, into Soundtrap, which is our browser-based digital audio workstation that we use. And we're going to be using that again this year. And it is kind of the future of music. We still use live instruments for many things, guitars and drums and bass. But being able to sit at your computer and put together those sounds and see how different rhythms and different melodies work together is the way a lot of people work these days. And Pasha, you did that. You did Soundtrap for the first time last year, and you've probably used other digital audio workstations. How's that helped with your songwriting abilities?
Soundtrap was really easy to use. It was super easy to maneuver. So I'd record a bunch of like ideas, and then I could always come back to them later. And it really helped. Retrograde when we were writing on Soundtrap, because we could all join at the same time and add different parts, and we could help people see how it sounded. So it was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. With the virtual options now, Marissa, do you think that Girls Rock Indianapolis could be more statewide event? I mean, we talked a little bit about earlier about bringing in kids from around the state. Do you think this event could get even bigger?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something that we were very intentional about when we started to have conversations about promoting this year's camp, is to make sure that we're being as inclusive as possible. And part of that inclusivity includes geographic inclusivity as well. You know, we want to help those kids who are in rural Indiana, you know, like I was, achieve their goal of, you know, being a rock star, feeling like a rock star. So I think that that is definitely the way that we're heading.
Yeah. Did you get students from outside of Indianapolis before the pandemic?
Yeah, we did get a few students who would make the trek down from Fort Wayne or up from, you know, Bloomington has their own camp now. But before last couple of years, Bloomington didn't have a camp. And they would find relatives to stay with or friends to stay with in Indianapolis so that they didn't have such a huge commute each day. What was I going to say? we did get people from out of town.
Yeah.
It's more challenging, obviously, and we even had one family that stayed in a hotel for the week so that their child could attend camp.
Well, the camps in the other cities, do you think they modeled after what you guys are doing?
I know Bloomington Camp has been started by somebody who participated in the New York Girls Rock Camp, which is called Willie Mae Camp. And I don't believe they're part of the Girls Rock Camp Alliance, but they are, you know, molded after the same model.
Are they all about the same?
All the camps are slightly different. Mm-hmm. We use the same model, and many of us have similarities, but we're not bound to any regulations put in place by the Girls Rock Camp Alliance. They're simply there as a support system, support network, and they offer every year we're able to attend a conference where we share ideas. And we are part of Facebook groups and other internet groups where we can collaborate with people from other camps. But no two camps are alike. They're all just, you know, a little bit different depending on the market that they are, you know, within. For example, Chicas Rocas, I believe is the name of it, in LA is a Spanish language camp where they obviously have different influences. The structure may be similar, but they just do things their own way. And there's a camp in a couple of camps in Africa now. Our last Girls Rock Camp Alliance conference that we went to, volunteers from the different camps played our camp song. Each camp has a song. Mm-hmm. And I forget which African country they were from, but these three women... Which one was it, Jackson?
Mozambique.
These three women got up and played their camp song, which was this epic 12-minute jazz piece, which we were just like, oh, my God, how did they do that? We have, like, our camp song is 2 minutes. It's like, la, 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 la. And they were playing this incredible piece of music with changing rhythms and changing tempos. And we're like, whoa, they do things differently down there.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Pasha, I wanted to ask you, what are you looking forward to most for Girls Rock this year?
This year, since we're not really sure where we'll be having it, if we do have it in person, I'm very excited to see all of the volunteers again, because they were awesome people. And like, we had like small shows and things like that. And I really want to see everybody again. I think that'd be mad fun. If we're going to do it online, I look forward to using Soundtrap again, because that was very efficient. We actually got songs written in a week, and it usually takes us a while. So
mm-hmm. What are your future goals? Do you want to do something in music?
Oh, absolutely. I'm currently working on, well, I'm studying music theory at my high school, and I hope to go into the music industry. I hope to study the music industry and go to USC in California. But at the same time, I really want to work on the local level. We've been partnering with some people in Seattle, actually. We're working on a song for this new film, this film series that our friends are putting out in Seattle. And we're really excited about that. I just really want to get to know different musicians. We want to tour next summer. I think it's going to be awesome if COVID lets up. It'll be amazing. So
I have no doubt that you're going to go far in your career.
Thank you.
It's been really hard over the last year. We usually find shows for our amplifiers to perform during the year, and we haven't been able to do that this year. So our programming with the amps has been really low key this year, unfortunately. And I feel terrible for the lost opportunities that we've had, but hopefully very soon we'll be able to branch out again.
Yeah, hopefully very soon. And again, can you give us an idea how people can sign up for Girls Rock?
Marissa, can you go ahead with that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So if folks are interested in signing up for Girls Rock Camp, they can head to girlsrockindie.org, and you should be able to see our programs available right there at the top, and you can click on camp. And then that will have all the information about Camp 2021, as well as a link to sign up.
Jackson, what are some of the social issues that is going to be the focus for this July? Some of the main things that are going to be out there?
We have to really be thoughtful about how we approach those conversations with youth. So really, it's about opening up platforms for them to be allowed to speak. My goal with last year, I was able to meet of just not having any cis women presenters. And I think that that's going to be really achievable again this year. Definitely am pushing to reach out to more marginalized campers and getting them involved. We have worked in the past with providing musical programming for the Julian Center. And would really like to get that ball rolling again for the organization and for the Julian Center as well. Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, we always have an element of self-expression and self-appreciation as part of camp. So whatever form that'll take, when we try to change it up every year, it's going to be in the same ballpark. You need to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to advocate for yourself, and you need to be able to appreciate people from all the different backgrounds that will cross your path in life. Mm-hmm. So those, along with confidence and collaboration, are what we're always striving to achieve.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of our guests today for taking the time. I had so much fun speaking with all of you. Good luck with everything. I'm Taylor Bennett. And again, thanks for all of our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. This is All In.